Brothers and sisters, thank you for gathering here today for this devotional. I'm incredibly grateful to be at BYU. I look out today and I see so many who mean so much to me, from dear family members to mentors, students, friends, and incredible colleagues who have impacted my life in so many profound ways. I'm so grateful for you, and I feel tremendous love for you because of the many ways you all help me and how we help one another in this community draw closer to the Savior. For those of you who are here who are currently BYU students, there is so much good ahead for you. This is a time in your life of focused learning. Learning is why you are here at BYU, and learning is also why you are here on earth. You are here to progress and to become who Heavenly Father has created you to become. To progress and develop, we need to keep learning. That progress comes when we persist, whether it's something new or we are building upon previous learning. As we continue to learn, it brings confidence and purpose to our lives. So what are the things that we should persist in learning? With so many different choices about what to learn, even when we narrow it to the time we were learning at BYU, what are the most important things for us to learn? The Lord has given us guidance concerning how to focus our learning. He taught, "Learn of me." More expansively, he said, "Learn of me and listen to my words. Walk in the meekness of my spirit, and you shall have peace in me." I want to focus on his invitation in the phrase, "Learn of me." The Savior wants us to learn about him because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Coming unto him and following him is the only way to return to our Heavenly Father. Nephi teaches, "There is none other name given under heaven, save it be this Jesus Christ, whereby man can be saved." Thus, he provides the path for us to make it back to him and our Heavenly Father. Integrating the study of our Savior into your education will profoundly impact your personal growth and your experience at BYU. As a BYU undergraduate student, one of the most impactful experiences I had was participating in the BYU Jerusalem study abroad. The scriptures just came alive as I studied there. We had some free time one day, so we left the center and quickly went to the Garden of Gethsemane. I found a quiet place in the garden and began praying. After a short time, a gardener asked me to follow him. We crossed the street and he opened a gate. On the other side of the gate was a large private area, a part of the Garden of Gethsemane. He let me walk in and motioned to me that I would be alone and that I could take my time there to pray. That day, part of the garden was for me. I had a very personal, private moment. Where I prayed, expressed gratitude, and pondered the importance of the Savior's great atoning sacrifice for me. Brothers and sisters, I think the Savior wants each one of us to metaphorically spend time in the garden, learning how the atonement of Jesus Christ applies to us personally, the gate that leads to his strength, his healing, his love, and his guidance is wide open to us if we choose to learn of him. Just as the gardener opened up that part of the Garden of Gethsemane to me, are there aspects of the Savior's life and teachings that could unlock more needed help for your life? President Nelson has repeatedly asked us to learn of the Savior so that we can find more strength. He said, "Whatever questions or problems you have, the answer is always found in the life and teachings of Jesus Christ." But the next line in his talk is also crucial. Our prophet invites us to learn more about his atonement, his love, his mercy, his doctrine, and his restored gospel of healing and progression. I hope that today we'll walk away with a greater desire to do what our prophet is asking, to learn of the Savior so we can draw more of his power into our lives. Today, I'll share three ways that learning of the Savior helps us access his divine strength. They are, first, listening to his words, second, developing meekness, and third, serving. First, the Lord taught us how to learn of him when he said, "Learn of me and listen to my words." The Apostle Paul taught that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listening to the words of Christ allows the Holy Ghost to confirm truth. This confirmation of truth by the Spirit builds our faith in the Lord and motivates us to act. Studying the Savior's words, both in the scriptures and through modern-day prophets, helps us access his strength and often brings answers to our challenges. A few years ago, I woke up to find a text informing me that our stake center was on fire. When I learned from the investigation that it was arson, I felt very unsettled, given how much time I was in the building, wondering whether or not they would find the arsonist. One day, the Savior's words came clearly to my mind. "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." These words of the Lord softened my heart, and gradually and genuinely, I began to desire good things for the person responsible for the fire. I felt prompted to ask our stake to pray for this person so that they could find healing. Although the person who started the fire hasn't been identified, I still find myself, even today as I speak, hoping and praying that they've been able to heal and find peace. I learned that the Savior cherishes each of his children. His words changed my heart, brought peace, and gave me strength to turn the matter over to him. How can Christ's words bring solutions to your life right now? How might they prompt you to think about a difficult situation or a strained relationship in a new way? Consider the personal application in your life of these words spoken by the Lord. "Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Blessed are the peacemakers. Let virtue garnish thy thoughts unceasingly. Look unto me in every thought. Doubt not, fear not." I testify that learning of Christ's words can unlock strength and solutions in our lives. I love how the prophet Joseph Smith's perspective on his challenges changed when he heard the word of the Lord while he was in Liberty Jail, pleading for the saints while he was in prayer, while he was personally struggling in jail. The prophet Joseph Smith cried out to the Lord for help. The Lord responds to him and lists many difficult burdens that can happen in this life, and then says, "Know thou, my son, that all these things shall give thee experience and shall be for thy good." As the Savior taught the prophet, all of our experiences and our learning can be consecrated to helping us become more like the Savior. His words can enlighten us and can bring all things together for our good. We learn of him by listening to his words. Second, we learn of him by developing meekness. The Savior said, "Learn of me, walk in the meekness of my spirit." An essential part of learning about the Savior is our willingness to cultivate a soft heart and a desire to change. Elder Bednar explained the necessity of meekness in our spiritual development. He said, "Meekness is characterized by righteous responsiveness, willing submissiveness, and strong self-restraint." The Christ-like quality of meekness is strong, not weak, active, not passive, courageous, not timid, restrained, not excessive, modest, not self-aggrandizing, and gracious, not brash. A meek person is not easily provoked, pretentious, or overbearing, and readily acknowledges the accomplishments of others. He continues, "A distinguishing characteristic of meekness is a particular spiritual receptivity to learning both from the Holy Ghost and from people who may seem less capable, experienced, or educated, who may not hold important positions, or who otherwise may not appear to have much to contribute." End of quote. Our Heavenly Father knew that our life on earth would provide many opportunities to learn meekness. Years ago, I was studying and wasn't doing well. For context, imagine taking the same exam over and over again, every day for more than 6 months and failing every time. Day after day, I worked on this project and I thought I was doing well. Day after day, I received feedback that my work was really poor. It became very discouraging to me. It seemed everything I tried wasn't up to par, and I began to believe that I was not cut out for this work. So I considered changing careers, and I wondered if I should quit. Seeing this, my wife asked me if I would like to receive a priesthood blessing from our ministering brothers. As I sat for the blessing, an unexpected thing occurred. I didn't hear what I wanted to hear. Instead, I knew the Lord was teaching me through the blessing. I remember two things from the blessing. First, I was told that I was blessed to have someone providing me with helpful, difficult, and experienced feedback so that I could learn and progress. Second, through his servant, the Lord admonished me to repeatedly and frequently thank my boss for helping me learn. Brothers and sisters, I think it's often easier to see solutions that require others to change. But in this case, I was being asked to change. I was being asked to develop the Christ-like attributes of meekness and gratitude and to cultivate a heart that was willing to change. The following day, I walked into the office and I received a disheartening evaluation of what I had done. At the end of the discussion, I decided to act in faith and express gratitude. I told him, "Thank you," and I meant it, even though it was more difficult to say the words than I hoped. And I told him that I knew it was taking me a long time to learn this and that it must not be easy for him when others he's worked with learn much more quickly, but that I would keep working at it and that I'd learn it and that I was grateful for his help. I still remember him sitting in his chair and looking at me and saying, "Yeah, sure." And then he turned back to his computer as if nothing had happened. But something significant happened to me. I started to see my relationship with my boss differently. I felt hope and strength that if I listened carefully, I could improve and learn what I needed to do well. Eventually, with time and lots of practice, I gradually learned what I needed to. This incredibly impacted my life. Our work eventually received recognition and opened doors for important experiences that would happen later in my career. Through this experience, I learned how striving to develop meekness gave me the strength to persist. Reflecting on that point in my life, I realized I was in the steep part of my learning curve. For many important things that we will do in this life, we must persist in order to get through the steep part of our learning curve. So whether you're working at learning a new concept in a required class, focused on developing a Christ-like attribute, or have just begun making covenants with the Lord, I hope you will persist. Keep trying. Keep striving. There is hope. Whatever you do, don't give up on things that are really good and really important for your eternal progress. You are not alone in your learning. If you are developing meekness, you will be more teachable and open to inspired influences and promptings from the Holy Ghost to change, even to repent. As we act on those promptings, the Lord can transform us in wonderful ways. I love the Apostle Peter's example of meekness. As Peter learned from Christ, he was frequently corrected. Meekness is also associated with learning when we're corrected. For example, when the Savior is walking on the water, he calls Peter to come to him. Peter begins to walk on the water, but then, beginning to sink, he cries, "Lord, save me." In answer to his plea, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. The first thing the Savior does is he saves Peter. Then he teaches Peter about his need for more faith when he said, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" In this painting entitled The Hand of God, The Savior is reaching to Peter in the water. The painting is shown from Peter's perspective at his presumed moment of most need, so that the person looking at the painting sees the Savior reaching out to them. Similarly to the account with Peter, the artist seems to be communicating that the Lord's arms are reaching out to lift you up. Whether you feel like your life is sinking or as though you are underwater, I bear witness that as you call unto him in prayer, the Savior can lift you up through your challenges. He loves you. He desires you to learn, even to know how he can strengthen you. Peter learned from the correction he received from the Savior. He was meek and persisted in his learning of Christ. Because of his persistence, he developed great faith and worked mighty miracles. Developing meekness can help us also develop faith, access the Savior's strength, and prepare us to experience mighty miracles in this life. We learn of Christ by developing meekness. Our learning needs to be guided by the Spirit. An important role of the Holy Ghost is to teach us of Christ. The Holy Ghost can guide us in our decisions. When the time came for me to choose a major, I was nearing the end of my mission. This thought came to me. I keep teaching. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Am I living it? And so I prayed to know what I should major in. In that missionary apartment in Dublin, Germany, I started flipping through, you know, the old course catalogs. Started flipping through the course catalog and reading about all the majors that were offered at BYU. I finally turned to statistics, and suddenly I felt the Spirit very strongly. I read about statistics and it seemed interesting. I kept reading about different majors until I finished the course catalog. I'd never taken a stats class. I didn't know a lot about it. So I thought, maybe I'll go through this course catalog again. Maybe I missed something. So I get to statistics and again, the same thing. I felt the Spirit. So I decided to take the intro class in statistics and ultimately majored in statistics. This experience taught me how much the Savior wants to support us as we are seeking his will and are meek. As we seek him, he will guide us and he will give us the Spirit to reveal his will to us. That personal revelatory process through the Spirit is often different for each of us, but that experience provided me with hope that God would be involved in my life and that I could trust in the Spirit. Mormon teaches that the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart, and because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love. The Savior wants us to learn to walk by his Spirit and be guided by the Spirit in our lives. Learn of me, walk in the meekness of my Spirit. Third, we learn of Christ and how to access his strength when we serve others. King Benjamin taught, "For how knoweth a man the master whom he has not served, and who is a stranger unto him, and is far from the thoughts and intents of his heart?" The Savior's mission on earth was to serve Heavenly Father's children through his great atoning sacrifice and his compassionate ministering to all he encountered. If we are to learn of him, we also need to learn to serve. The invitations we receive to serve and minister in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints can teach us about the Savior and the strength that he provides us to face life's challenges. Over a decade ago, I was assigned and invited to minister to a brother named Paul. One day he called and said he needed a ride to the hospital in Salt Lake. The request came on a particularly busy day, and I was the only one available to take him. After his surgery and much time spent together, I realized it had been close to 8 hours of me being away, and I started feeling anxious about falling behind in my work. Just as I felt this, and as we were driving back from Salt Lake, we were hitting right about American Fork. And right then, Paul began opening up and talking about his life. He told me about his childhood, how his father had not been a part of his life. and how his mother had physically abused him. This led to him being in foster care from the time he was around 8 years old. Eventually, my friend was baptized. He met the missionaries, served a mission, and married in the temple. A few years later, Paul decided to visit his mother before she passed away. He tried to speak to her, but she couldn't look him in the eyes. He felt sorry for her and told her that he had forgiven her, even though he still felt a lot of hurt in his heart. As he shared his experiences on that car ride home with me, I felt more love for my friend Paul. I felt the Savior's love for him. And I knew that the time I had spent with Paul was significant and incredibly meaningful, and that I was learning things. A few weeks later, I heard a knock on the door of my office at work. It was Paul. He asked, "Would you help me do some family history?" As we found some of his family names, he felt energized and more connected to his family. Then he said, "I feel like it's time to do the work for my mother." We prepared the documents, and he was ready to take her name to the temple. Later, he called me and asked if my wife, Robin, would be willing to be baptized as proxy for his mother. When he performed the ordinance of baptism for her, brothers and sisters, I will never forget that morning in the baptismal font at the temple and the spirit we felt as he stood in the water with my wife and performed the baptism for his mom. Recently, as I prepared to give this talk, I called Paul and we chatted to discover that minutes before my call, he had been to his mother's grave, which is far away, for the first time in decades. He said, "Darren, I now feel a love for my mom that I didn't have for her for so long. After this life, I'm going to meet her face to face, and I'm at peace with that now." It took Paul almost 50 years to get to the point where he felt comfortable taking his mother's name to the temple. We each have an individual timetable when it comes to forgiveness and reconciliation. My wife, Robin, and I, we felt grateful to witness Paul's beautiful discovery that the Lord could heal his relationship with his mom through temple service. Elder Renlin beautifully taught about the Savior's power in this process when he said, "The Savior loves to restore what you cannot restore. He loves to heal wounds you cannot heal. He loves to fix what has been irreparably broken. He compensates for any unfairness inflicted on you, and he loves to permanently mend even shattered hearts." I know many of you are remarkable examples of reaching out and finding ways to bless the lives of others through service. I've seen it over and over in my time here at BYU. There are people all around you who are in need of a little kindness, a little encouragement, friendship, and support. I invite you to renew your efforts to look outside yourself and find someone for whom you can make a difference. I hope you see the blessings of the many opportunities to serve in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and how they help us learn of him. I hope you'll respond to the invitation to minister to one another, magnify your calling, serve in the temple, actively participate in your ward, and serve during your time at BYU and throughout your life. I promise that it'll help you learn more about the Savior and the unique gifts he has given you to bless others. If we are serious about learning of Christ and accessing his strength, we must make time for the Lord. Spending time with him daily is imperative in order to draw closer to him. The temple is a house of learning. It is a place that is holy. The time you spend in the temple provides a time and a place for the Lord to speak to you and teach you. One of those powerful places is in the temple. We see the joy of our Heavenly Father's plan and the central role of the Savior's atonement. We learn about our relationship to God the Father and his Son. Time in the temple is one of the best antidotes for avoiding unproductive distractions and finding answers to our problems. One day I was meeting with a man who was having marital issues. I didn't really know how to counsel him, so all I could think to do was invite him to the temple. At the end of the endowment, we hadn't spoken, but he came up to me and thanked me profusely. "I'm so glad you invited me to the temple," he said. "I found my answer." The temple is a place of revelation where we can learn of the Savior and find personal guidance for the decisions we're making. My wife Robin and I enjoy going to the temple with friends, such as brother and sister Cowan, who live in our stake. For the context of the story, it's relevant to know that brother Cowan is blind. On one occasion, brother Cowan and I were discussing the visual presentation of the temple endowment. As we prepared for an endowment session, I asked him, "Is there anything I can pay attention to visually during the session that we could discuss afterward?" And he said, "Yes, there is. Every time there's a picture of the Savior, can you put your hand on my arm so I'll know what's being shown?" During that session, every time a picture of the Savior was presented, I touched Brother Cowan's arm and held it there for as long as the picture of the Savior was shown. Some of Brother Cowan's responses were, "Wow, really? And thank you." This reminded me of the joy I feel when I look for the Lord in my life and how special it is when we have the chance to share that experience with others. The ordinances of the temple teach us of Christ, and the promises we make there can help us improve our lives and progress as we bind ourselves to Him and internalize the promises we make. Time in the temple is one way that we can open the gate to receive the great blessings of strength, healing, love, and guidance that the Lord wants to provide us. Brothers and sisters, I have great hope for your future because I know you have access to these powerful truths we've discussed today. I invite you to make time to learn about the Savior and ponder His atonement for you. This can open your heart to learn more about the perfect love He feels for you. As you persistently make learning of Him a priority in your daily life, you will be incredibly blessed. I testify that Jesus is the Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He lives. I witness that there is enabling power as we learn of Him. I testify that His atonement can help us change. I know the Book of Mormon is another witness of Jesus Christ and His atonement. I bear witness that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is His church. I testify that the prophet Joseph Smith learned from the Savior and saw Him in the first vision, and that he was a prophet of God. I truly testify that President Nelson, the First Presidency, and Quorum of the 12 Apostles are special witnesses of the name of Christ in all the world. Their teachings are so crucial for us today. May you personally discover the blessings of learning of the Savior through studying His words, developing meekness, and serving. In the sacred name of Jesus Christ, amen.